EVC Dispatches, new episode, AI Voices, our editorial script. Here's what you need to know going in. Google DeepMind ran a safety test on one of its own AI models, but instead of just signing a contract and sending prompts to the lab, the whole thing happened inside a kind of hardware-encrypted vault, a sealed computing space where neither the testers nor DeepMind could read each other's data. Governments are increasingly pushing for exactly this kind of independent evaluation, without forcing labs to hand over their most sensitive code. Zen has been digging into how the plumbing actually worked. Zen, the thing that caught my attention straight away, they ran this whole elaborate evaluation, and then nobody published the scores. What's that about?
Right, so that tension is actually the right place to start, because it's sitting at the heart of everything here. Avery, that's the AI Vulnerability and Evaluation Research Initiative, the independent group that ran the evaluation, they put together a confidential findings report and sent it straight to Google DeepMind. Nobody else. Tech Republic and Avery's own account both confirm that. The outside world saw the announcement, the methodology, but not what Gemini actually scored.
And that's fine? Or is that the problem?
It's both, depending on what you think this pilot was actually trying to prove. The claim isn't, Gemini is safe. The claim is, we now have a working pipeline where neither side has to trust the other's promises. Those are very different things, and I think a lot of the coverage conflated them.
Okay, so let's back up, because I want to make sure the listener has the basic shape of the problem before we get into the hardware. Why does any of this need solving in the first place?
So what's actually happening under the hood with AI safety evaluations is, there's always been this awkward shape to them. Step one, the evaluators want to hide their test questions, because if the lab knows what's coming, the model might have been trained on those exact prompts. Step two, the lab wants to hide its model weights, and weights are basically the product. I'll come back to that. Step three, so someone has to trust someone. And in practice, what that looks like is evals going through APIs, everyone signs a contract, there are promises about logging. But nobody can actually verify.
And the weights, just to gloss that for anyone not deep in this stuff. You mean the actual numbers that define how the model thinks?
Yeah, exactly. The weights are the billions of numerical parameters that encode everything the model has learned. They're the crown jewels. Think of it like a pharmaceutical company handing over its synthesis process. That's what a lab handing weights to an external evaluator would actually mean. So in practice, nobody hands them over.
And the benchmark contamination problem, is that actually happening or is it theoretical?
It's happening. Google's technical report, covered in detail by Roger Satterfield at Tech Times, digs into earlier research showing benchmark leakage turned up in something like half of 31 models they looked at. And a separate 2026 study found that contamination can meaningfully inflate scores, with larger models being especially vulnerable. NIST put out a report in February 2026, raising similar concerns, warning that the way benchmarks are commonly run tends to let models overfit to test sets, and nobody's even tracking how uncertain the results are.
So it doesn't require anyone to be deliberately cheating.
That's the thing people miss. It's almost never deliberate.
You know that thing where test prompts get scraped into training data, or an earlier eval logged an answer somewhere it shouldn't have, or a well-meaning engineer caches the wrong file? The test gets seen before it's given, and nobody intended it that way. Which is actually why the contract-based solution is insufficient. There's no contracting your way out of a data pipeline problem.
Right, so this is where the sealed box comes in. Walk me through what double-blind actually means in the context of this pilot, because I don't think it means the same thing as in a clinical trial.
It's narrower, yeah. In this pilot, double-blind means two specific things. Google DeepMind couldn't store or train against the test prompts that ML Commons supplied. And Avery, OpenMind, and ML Commons couldn't see Gemini's weights. Both sides could still see the model's outputs. You need those to score anything. What was sealed was the input on one side and the weights on the other.
And the thing enforcing that isn't a contract. It's hardware.
Right, so the enforcement mechanism is what the piece is really about. It's a trusted execution environment, a TEE.
Imagine a room inside the computer that the computer itself keeps locked. Hardware encryption, so that even the operating system, even the cloud provider's admin tools, even someone who physically handles the machine, can't read what's happening inside. The CPU decrypts data only when it's actively computing on it, right there inside the sealed space, and protects it again on the way back out. Except, and here's where the analogy gets interesting, it's not really a room. It's a cryptographic property of the chip itself.
So Google and the evaluators both sent their sensitive data into this room, and neither could look inside while it was running.
That's the shape of it. The model ran inside Google Cloud Confidential Space on what's called an A3 Confidential VM. The host memory, where the prompts lived, was encrypted using Intel TDX, which is Intel's chip-level feature for sealing virtual machine memory from the hypervisor. And the model weights themselves ran on an NVIDIA H100 80GB confidential GPU. That's a GPU that extends the same hardware encryption model into GPU memory, so the weights stayed protected even while the model was computing on them.
Okay, hold on. Before I lose the thread, you've described the box. But how do either side know the box is actually sealed before they send anything in?
This is the part that took me a minute to actually see. There's a step called remote attestation, and attestation just means cryptographically verify that the enclave is running exactly the code everyone agreed to, not some modified version that might quietly log the prompts to a file. So step one, OpenMind's PySift framework, that's their open source privacy tooling, handled the cooperative code review layer, meaning both sides had already reviewed and approved every piece of code that would run inside. Step two, attestation confirms it's actually that code, not something else. Step three, only then does anyone send anything sensitive. The interesting thing is that sequence. The verification comes before the data, not after.
And only after that check passes does anyone send their data in.
Only then. DeepMind sends the weights. ML Commons and Avery send the prompts. Gemini answers the questions from the ML Commons AI Luminate Air 1.4 benchmark. That's their safety evaluation suite, covering things like chemical and biological hazard prompts, cyber attack scenarios, hate speech, and self-harm elicitation. Plus, a separate private prompt set from the Singapore AI Safety Institute focused on locally relevant harmful content. Only the bounded results come out. Then the enclave is destroyed.
That's the pipeline. And Google's own technical report puts the performance cost of all this cryptographic wrapping at less than 5% overhead.
Less than 5%, yeah. That number matters because confidential computing used to carry a really heavy computational tax. You'd pay 30-40% just for the encryption layer. That figure is now small enough that "we can't afford it" isn't a credible reason not to do this anymore.
Okay, but, and I want to push on something here. You mentioned that Google's role in attestation is one of the places the sealed box metaphor breaks down. That seems like more than a footnote. If Google is partially in its own verification chain, what does that actually mean?
So this is the one that matters most of the three limitations the technical report itself acknowledges. The attestation says, this enclave is running the agreed code. But the thing telling you the attestation is valid is, in part, Google. Google services were used to sign and verify the attestation report. So trust is reduced, genuinely reduced compared to the contract-only model, but it's not eliminated. You're trusting the attestation chain, and Google is a link in that chain.
Hang on, so you're saying trustless here isn't binary. It's a dial, and this moved the dial.
Yeah, exactly. And I think moved the dial significantly is fair. I'm simplifying, but anyone describing this as fully trustless is overshooting. The two other limitations are some proprietary inference code couldn't be fully inspected or allow listed, meaning approved and visible to everyone, before the run. And the individual enclave builds weren't independently reproducible, so an outside researcher couldn't rebuild the exact environment byte for byte to verify it themselves. The Google attestation issue is the one I'd want fixed first, but all three matter.
Here's where I want to push back a bit more directly, though. No scores were published. Only DeepMind saw the results. Couldn't a skeptic read this whole thing as an expensive private audit that DeepMind controlled the narrative around, while everyone else just takes it on faith?
I want to be honest about this because the skeptic isn't wrong to ask it. The outside world cannot yet judge whether the evaluation produced a useful safety signal or just a working pipeline. There's no understanding step available to us from outside. We just don't know. What I'd say is, the piece is careful not to claim otherwise. What changed on August 27th is that, "Give us your model to evaluate on our secret prompts, and we promise not to leak them," went from being a request backed by goodwill to a request that can be backed by hardware. Whether DeepMind's scores were good, bad, or meaningless, that's a genuinely open empirical question right now.
But that's almost the deeper problem, isn't it? You wrote something in the piece that I think is sharper than the hardware story, the idea that even a perfectly sealed enclave can produce a useless number.
Yeah, think of it like, imagine you built a perfectly tamper-proof thermometer, sealed it in cryptographic hardware, attestation, the whole thing, and then measured the wrong thing with it. The number that comes out is perfectly accurate and completely useless. That's the distinction ML Commons themselves publicly cautioned about. This was picked up by MLQ.ai, that legal protections and benchmark stewardship still need to sit alongside the technical seal. A sealed enclave running a bad benchmark still produces a bad score. Prompt secrecy is not benchmark validity. The plumbing problem and the benchmark quality problem are separate, and solving one doesn't touch the other.
That maps onto something I keep thinking about with financial auditing. The company chooses the auditor. The auditor depends on repeat business. Does confidential computing actually solve the independence problem, or does it just move it somewhere else?
It's a good parallel, actually. Right, so what this architecture does is remove one specific dependency. Neither side has to rely on the other's goodwill not to peek at the protected data. That piece of the independence problem is genuinely solved by hardware. There's no trust step there anymore. There's just cryptographic enforcement. But the auditor selection problem, who gets to design the benchmark, who picks which eval group runs it, whether the lab can choose a friendlier evaluator next time, none of that is touched by a TEE. So I'd put it this way. Confidential computing closes one important door. It doesn't close the building.
Give me a second to hold all of this together. The way I'm hearing it, the big move is that regulators can now make hardware-backed requests instead of contract-backed ones. The box demonstrably works, but the scores are private. The reproducibility gap is real. Google is still in its own attestation chain, and the benchmark itself might not be well designed regardless. Is that the thread?
Pretty much, yeah, with one thing I'd add. The piece cites the 2026 Singapore Consensus on Global AI Safety Research Priorities. That's a document from July 2026, spanning 13 countries and 100 contributors. And it explicitly called for, and I'm quoting directly here, "evaluation infrastructure that would ideally enable double blindness. Evaluator cannot access model parameters. Developer does not know exact evaluations." This pilot is one concrete answer to that. Not the only possible architecture, not yet a deployed regulatory tool, but it's now a thing that exists, rather than a thing people write research papers about wanting.
And what's the bottleneck for actually running this at scale? More hardware? Better cryptography?
Neither, which is the somewhat absurd ending to the hardware story. Per Google's technical report, as covered in independent reporting, the main bottleneck now is legal coordination and code review between the parties. Getting everyone to agree on the code, getting lawyers to sign off on the terms. The wild thing is, the hard part left is basically templates and repeat runs, not a technical breakthrough. There's no cryptography gap, there's just paperwork.
I honestly didn't expect the conclusion to be, the cryptography is fine, it's the contracts that need work.
Neither did I, when I started reading. But that's where it lands. Carly Tryon's A Very Pilot Report, published August 27th, and the Aminu Abdullahi piece in Tech Republic are both pretty clear on this point. The hardware scaled. The legal coordination between parties hasn't yet.
So the real test of this isn't whether the box works.
It's whether a second lab agrees to sit inside somebody else's one.
Zen, good piece. That's our technical explainer's editor on DeepMind's double-blind eval, how the sealed box was built, where it genuinely moves the dial on trust, and why the benchmark and the paperwork still have some catching up to do. We'll be back with another dispatch tomorrow.